The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
For the very first time, the world is about to hear from a former high-level U.S. intelligence officer who says the government has some of the unidentified craft in its possession.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Boy, we got a lot to talk about right now. Let me ask you a question before we start. Do you believe in extraterrestrial intelligence or life? How probable do you think it is? And do you think we've been visited? You know, I've spoken about this in the past. I know some people say they've actually seen these types of crafts. One of my own colleagues a little bit earlier, John Harper, was talking about something he could not explain that was in the sky. And I've had other people mention seeing craft land in fields. I mean, that's pretty dramatic. There are some breaking news coming out about extraterrestrial, about exotic material, about aircraft. And how am I going to put this? About spacecraft. It's a prosaic word when it comes to this, because this is exotic material, extraterrestrial technology. If indeed what's being reported is true, is it true or is it not? You have high-ranking government officials, a whistleblower that has come out and is saying, hey, we have technology, and it's been held from Congress. Now, Elon Musk and a number of others have said, you know what, this is a deception. It's not real. Maggie, what was the word you used? It was
distraction.
Distraction. That's the word I'm looking for. You know, it is very interesting. You know, the president, and there's a lot of big news stories right now that deserve maybe more examination. And all of a sudden you have something as big as this. It's pretty amazing. Ever since the public went nuts over the alleged crash of a UFO near Roswell, New Mexico, that's happened back in the 1940s. There have been claims that the government has alien material in its possession. The conspiracy theorists, you know, those conspiracy theorists that are out there among those who say, hey, Area 51, a highly classified Air Force base in Nevada, holds aliens from outer space. I don't know what proof we have of that. A couple years ago, there's even talk of a civilian raid on that facility. Remember that? But people thought better of it. A little ridiculous. All of this, though, has been very secretive. But in the last few years, the stigma, the veil over which information has been getting out has just become a little bit thinner. It's as if, though, now it's almost hard to dispute. Navy fighter pilots have publicly shared images from their high-tech instruments of vehicles, flying vehicles, that have no visible means of propulsion. We do not have that technology right now. No visible means of propulsion. They're doing maneuvers that defy the law of physics, at least as we currently understand them, right? And these vehicles can not only fly at unbelievable speeds, stop on a dime, ascend and descend, but they can also dive into the ocean and then take off again at speeds that no human-built machine can, at least to my understanding, ever achieve. So Congress said, you know what, we got to look into this. And they convened inquiries into, you know, bringing in top members of the Pentagon. They want them to testify about what the military now calls UAPs. It used to be called UFOs, right? They've reframed it, and the UAP stands for Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena. So whether it's a craft or not, it could be something else. But now whistleblowers are coming forward, and they're claiming that the Pentagon has been less than forthcoming about what they do know. There's a guy named David Grush, 36-year-old former military officer, top secret clearance, right? Very credentialed. He's a great deal of respect from his peers. All of a sudden, he's gone public. And he's saying that the government does, in fact, have in its possession craft of non-human origin. I mean, if this is indeed the case, this is one of the most significant announcements of your lifetime. In other words, he claims that the conspiracy theorists, you know, what they've been claiming all along, that the government has UFOs in its possession, it has this technology. If that's indeed true, this guy's saying, yeah, it is. He also says that they've been conducting super secret operations to try to reverse engineer these crafts in order to use their technology for our own military purposes. And just think about that for a moment. Imagine if we did have that type of technology. I mean, it would give you such an edge on your adversary. And there's been a ton of these sightings all over the world, but we've had a number of them here in the States. I want to talk about this today. I want to look at what the possibilities are. I want to take a look at what the church teaches regarding intelligent life, what it would mean to us, what some of the great saints have had to say, what Padre Pio said, John Paul II. There's a great book out by Dr. Paul Thigpen, who's a great friend of this radio program, and you may want to check that out. I'll get you plugged into the title of that. And I've invited back to the show today, though, to talk about it. Dr. Diana Walsh-Polsuka, she's an associate professor of religion at the University of North Carolina, specializes in Catholic history, but her publications focus on Catholicism prior to Vatican II. But she's also the author of American Cosmic UFOs, Religion and Technology. And we spoke to her in the past about this topic. She's back again to give us some insight on what's now being reported. And Diana, it's so good to have you here with me. Been looking forward to this conversation all day. Good afternoon.
Hi there. Thanks for having me here. I love to be on your show, Drew.
It's always fun. This guy, David Grush, let's start with him. How credible is he? Some people think, I mean, I look at his credentials based on what's being reported. Seems to have top secret clearance and seems like a credible guy. But others think, as Elon Musk and others are pointing out, this is a major distraction. I don't know what his motive would be other than fame. But what do you make of him and his credentials and what he's now saying?
Well, regardless of whether or not what he's saying is actually true, he is a trustworthy, incredible person, according to all the people who know him. And you know, he was an Air Force combat veteran, and he did work for the National Reconnaissance Office, which is our defense office that keeps our skies safe. So he does seem to be credible, definitely.
Yep. So what do you make of his claim that we have exotic alien technology? And I think he went so far as to say they have bodies.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so his claims. So these similar claims, which are that we have craft and we've had programs, government programs that have been studying the craft as well as the pilots, he called them pilots, yeah. For, you know, more than 40 years. These claims were actually made to me as well. And I wrote about them in American Cosmic. And they were made by a person in a similar position who worked tangentially for the NRO, which is the National Reconnaissance Office. And I, at the time, you know, I was writing this in around 2017. And this is before the New York Times came out with their claims that there were these secret programs. I approached it as I'm a professor of religious studies, and we don't actually weigh in on the truth or falsity of these claims. Right. We study them and study their effects. So I thought I was studying a mythology, you know, the mythology of Roswell,
sure.
Basically.
Right.
And the more I got into it, the more I recognized that there were lots of credible people who were talking about these programs. So in a sense, I kind of understand where he's coming from. So he's being told by very credible people, lifetime associations with our defense industry, who are talking about these programs. So he basically is claiming that he gave confidential information to Congress, and he had some blowback from that. So this is why he's a whistleblower. So these are his claims. And he says that he never saw the craft himself, which I think is interesting,
yeah.
But that we have materials. And I do know people who've studied materials because I've been doing this work now for, you know, 10 years or so. And there are some materials that are exotic. So that part of his claim, I think, is probably accurate. But I think it's interesting that he says that he actually never himself saw the craft or any bodies.
Yeah, and he's not alone, though. I mean, there have been a lot of reports when those balloons were flying over the the States recently, there was a U.S. former U.S. Navy pilot who spoke out, and he says, look, balloons.
Brian Graves.
Yeah, exactly. He says, look, balloons aren't, they're not a problem, right?
Yeah.
He basically said that, you know, he would see UFOs almost on a daily basis.
That's the case. And not just him.
Yeah, so, I mean, that gives me a little bit of pause, and there's a couple possible solutions for this, right? I mean, one, either we are visited and we are a habitable planet. Maybe somebody is observing the civilization develop. And look at the leap we've made technologically just in the past century or two. And who knows where we're going to go now that AI is coming our way. I mean, we might really accelerate that evolution. So maybe we're being observed. Maybe that is the possibility. The other possibility, and for a former pilot to see this, I mean, maybe there's some black op operation where they are developing new technology. We have technological breakthroughs, and that's why the USS Nimitz saw that Tic Tac, or, you know, we have different technology that's out there. Maybe it's drones, some of these things that are up there that can move at unbelievable speeds and you know, would kill somebody who, the G-force would kill somebody that would be piloting something like that. What are your thoughts on the possibility that this is just U.S. technology or some other technology that is being tested out against the U.S. military? That's why these pilots and other people are seeing it.
Well, that would be pretty scary if that were the case. And I think that all of the above are possible, what you just, you know, proposed. Okay, so we may be being observed, right? Or this could be technology that, you know, is in the hands of people, you know, other countries. All of these things, I agree, could be the case. I think that we now, what's going to happen with Grush's claims, yeah, is that they're going to be investigated. And I think that we should just wait and see how the investigation goes. I mean, obviously, he's making some pretty extraordinary claims, and the claims have been around, as like I said, as a mythology for a very long time, and now all of a sudden they're becoming something that people are believing in, and, you know, he's believing in them, and I know lots of people who do believe in them, and they're credible scientists. So I think that we're at a very unprecedented time in our history here.
You know, it always gave me pause. I mean, there's a great TED. I've had astronauts on the program with me that I've spoken to, from Buzz Aldrin to others, guys who've flown the space shuttles. And I've always asked them about extraterrestrial life. And they just say, hey, based on the probability of how many galaxies are out there, right? It's overwhelming that there's probably other intelligent life. In fact, there was a news report I just saw that said that there are hundreds, there may be hundreds of millions of habitable planets in our Milky Way alone. That's a new study. There's a new analysis of the Kepler data that shows that a third of the small stars called M dwarfs may now, you know, have the potential to host life. So that would really be pretty amazing. Because my problem with this is, you know, just the vastness of space. And as you know, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. In order to just traverse our galaxy, it takes light years. How does somebody, unless you could somehow find a way to bend time in space, maybe a wormhole or something like that, how would somebody from a distant galaxy ever get here to see us, unless they're within our own galaxy? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, speaking to people who actually do this kind of study, you know, physicists and people that are interested in UAPs and UFOs, yep, it appears that probably they wouldn't be using propulsion. They would be, yep, you know, accessing maybe other dimensions, somehow bending time and space. And so I think that we have to think in that way, instead of thinking in kind of the old physics way of, you know, getting from here to there through space. Because, you know, we do know that there are other dimensions. And so that's most probably, if they're super advanced, that's what they're going to be using to get here. So these are the kinds, this is what people have been telling me.
It's a fascinating subject. My guest today is Dr. Diana Walsh-Plasuka. And if you want to join us, she's the author of a book called American Cosmic, UFOs, Religion, and Technology. If you want to join us, I'll open the phones. Number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And major news outlets yesterday. I don't know whether you caught any of these stories or not. We're reporting that an intelligence officer has come forward, wants to testify before Congress, and claims that we have exotic, alien technology, that we have crafts, basically, to put it very simply, in our possession. And this could be a tremendous, tremendous game changer. Now, he's saying that the government, the military, whoever has it in his possession, I don't know, if it's kept from Congress. I can understand a president not knowing about it either, because presidents change every 4 years, 8 years, right? Maybe there's some other division in the government that people aren't aware of. But he says they have an intact craft made of some non-human sources, and also says that it's not just our government, but governments all over the world. Maggie, you say you have some audio? Okay, let's play this. We have some audio. This is David Grush. Maggie has audio. So listen to this. Check this out.
You are one of the most trusted former intelligence officials in the U.S. defense and intelligence establishment.
Yes, I was.
You were trusted with the most intimate secrets.
Yes.
Grush sitting down with award-winning investigative journalist Ross Coulthart.
What conclusion did you come to at the end of your time on the UAP task force?
The UAP task force was refused access to a broad crash retrieval program.
When you say crash retrieval, what do you mean?
These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles, call it spacecraft if you will, non-human, exotic origin vehicles that have either landed or crashed.
We have spacecraft from another species.
We do, yeah.
How many?
Quite a number. I thought it was totally nuts, and I thought at first I was being deceived. It was a ruse. People started confiding in me. They approached me. I have plenty of current and former senior intelligence officers that came to me, many of which I knew almost my whole career, that confided in me. They were a part of a program. They named the program. I've never heard of it. They told me, based on their oral testimony, and they provided me documents and other proof, that there was, in fact, a program that the UAP task force was not read into.
If you're right, if you're telling us the truth, everyone, the entire American public, has been lied to for decades.
Yeah, there's a sophisticated disinformation campaign targeting the U.S. populace, which is extremely unethical and immoral.
All right, there you have it. Doctor, what do you make of what he had to say?
I think it's amazing. I mean, it's he's talking about Project Blue Book, the disinfo campaign, yep. And it is actually the case that it was waged against the American public, and a lot of people who saw things were discredited, or even in worse situations, they were the target of character assassinations. So, and it is unethical and immoral.
You've talked to high-ranking officials, right, or to others that seem to be in the know.
Yeah.
What have they told you?
Well, I feel like I was told the same thing that David Grush was told. I was told this many years ago, before 2017. And it was a very weird position to be in, because I actually did not believe in UFOs or UAPs.
Right.
And then within... but I couldn't deny the credibility of the people who were talking to me, and also people who were studying this. And also I understood that there was this program. And so I did a lot of research, and what I found was disturbing and amazing to me, and it changed how I view everything in my life. It is kind of an interesting thing that's happening right now. But I think that, for me, I was able to lean on my religious studies background, which was not to believe or disbelieve.
Mm-hmm.
David Grush doesn't have that kind of a background. He's out there and, he has senior people telling him these things. So he believes. And now that it's out there, a lot of people, I think, are going to believe. But I would hold judgment for a while at this point. I mean, the programs most probably exist. The materials, there are exotic materials, but within Catholicism, we have exotic materials as well. The Shroud of Turin, the Tilma of Our Lady of Guadalupe, those are things that are not you know, that are absolutely not made by humans. Yeah. And the Catholic Church has given them up to scientists to right. study right. often. So we know this. We know this to be yeah. the case. So I think it's a very interesting time that we live in. So I yeah, think that I we should too. Wait. Yeah.
I want to take a look at the spiritual aspects of this, too. We can take a look at whether this is heavenly or maybe even demonic. We can get into that in a minute. But, you know, I want to get back to what this agent had to say, this man who has incredible security clearance and exposure. You know, he says they have multiple craft. And it's not just us. It's other countries as well. So you can understand, I guess, in some respects, why this is kept secret. We don't want the rest of the world to know what we have. But here's my problem with these crashed aircraft, right? You know, there are approximately, I think, 9,000 to about 14,000 commercial aircraft in the sky at any given time. That's a lot of planes in the sky. How many airplane crashes do we have? You know, how often are they reported? You know, very, very rare. They're an anomaly if you think about how many aircraft are in the sky. How many UFOs are in the sky? And if they have this advanced technology, you think their safety protocols would be even better than what we have, right? And better materials. And
yes.
How do we get so many crashed aircraft? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if the you know, we've got crashed aircraft, partial and intact. That's the only thing that always stymies me. There's tens of thousands of craft in the air, and we have a limit. We just started to fly, you know, within 100 years. It's like, these guys could travel across the universe through wormholes, and their crafts are crashing in great number. That's the only thing that really rubs me a little bit wrong with some of these stories.
Yeah, and also the scientists who study this have thought about that as well, and they reframe it from crashing to, they call it the donation. It's a donation for us.
So they want us to advance technologically? We're at that stage now?
That's the framework of the scientists. So that's how they're thinking of it. They're not, so they know it's absurd that these things would come all this way and then crash.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Absurd. So, you know, they're scientists, so they have to think about it. They still want to study it. They still know it's something extraordinary. So they reframe it, and they say, well, it must be a donation to us.
Yeah. If we are visited, and if this is indeed a true story, how long do you think the human race has been visited? And the reason I pose that question, I was sharing with my producer, Maggie, that you can go back and you can look at some Renaissance art. You're probably familiar with this. And some of the art has imagery in it that look like they are strange aerial objects. They look like they're saucers or a spaceship. There's a painting of the Madonna with St. Giovannini, I think, something along those lines. I can't remember the exact title of it. It's a 15th century painting. And it's pretty amazing. Now, maybe it symbolizes something else. Maybe the artist was being creative. The Baptism of Christ, which was painted by a Dutch artist in 1700, shows a disc-shaped object as well. The Triumph of Summer Tapestry, it's a painting in 1500s from Belgium. So we see this in artwork. There's claims that, you know, Native Americans and other civilizations have had encounters. How long do you think, if that's indeed the case, we have been visited? And what do you think the objective is? Are they just observing the human race and its development?
Okay, so about cultures that have, you know, put this into their material culture, like, you know, cave paintings or things like that, there's definitely archaeology that, you know, and there are archaeologists that study what they would call, they call them hierophanies. Basically, you know, something like a deity comes down from the sky and interacts and contacts humans. And, you know, you do see that. And within even contemporary indigenous lore, let's take Australian indigenous lore as an example, I've talked to people who are initiated into that lore, mm-hmm. who said that they absolutely are in contact and they've been in contact and they've passed this information down through their lineages for more than 30,000 years. And you do, so it's really interesting. And then you do have our own historical record. I mean, that's really how I'm a person who was a fairly conservative, you know, Catholic historian yeah. of Catholic culture. And the way I got into studying UFOs was I started to see a lot of aerial phenomena in reports from European Catholics from the 1200s on through up until the 1800s. and never thought I would ever study this topic. Right. So, yeah, so I think that we do see that this has been around for a long time. People have been thinking about people from other planets or, you know, star people for as long as human beings have been around.
Well, my guest today, Dr. Diana Walsh-Pulsuka. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation, taking a look at a big news story that erupted yesterday regarding the U.S. being in possession of exotic, perhaps alien technology. I want to look at the spiritual components of this as well. What have some of the saints have had to say, as well as whether or not they can be demonic? Stay with me. Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
...36-year-old Air Force veteran David Grush is exposing what he calls a top-secret military program that has reportedly found wreckage of fully intact UFOs.
Get the facts, get the faith. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So if true, this is an amazing story. Intelligence officials saying the U.S. has retrieved craft of non-human origin. That could be a game changer. The materials include intact and partially intact materials. And it's not limited to the U.S. Retrievals of this kind have been a global phenomenon. And yet, you know, there's been a stigma put over this. That seems to be changing when you have military officials, especially those who flew on the USS Nimitz, and reported this tic-tac-shaped object that could move at unbelievable speeds, drop from great heights, can submerse into the ocean, take off at lightning speed again. This guy, Grush, you just heard, served as an intelligence officer for over 14 years. He was a veteran of the Air Force, has numerous awards and decorations for his participation in covert and clandestine operations to advance American security. So he's very credentialed, and he's got a lot of credibility to them. He said that he reported to Congress the existence of this, and you know, there apparently is others who support his claims. My guest today, Dr. Diana Walsh-Pulsuka. We'll take your calls too. If you want to get in on the conversation, you want to sound off, share your thoughts, your views, your stories, ask your questions, you can get in at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. And doctor, it's good to have you back here with us. You know, I know you. I think you have read, or maybe even know, a mutual friend of mine. His name's Dr. Paul Thigpen, and he wrote a book.
He's got some. Yeah, I love his book.
He wrote a book on extraterrestrial life and on this phenomena. And it's a great read. He's been on the air talking to me about it in the past. You and I were talking during the break, and you said that you have a book that also came that is recommended to you from the Vatican. I mean, fill us in. What's going on?
Yeah. Okay. So, it was recommended by a person who lives at the Vatican, and it has a position that's not unlike, you know, the Space Force, U.S. Space Force, some, you know, that equivalent at the Vatican. And, this person, I won't say that person's name, because this topic is a lightning rod in an unfortunate way for people there. But it's called As It's Written, and it can be, you can get it on Lulu, which is like an Amazon. And it's written by an American woman who lives in Switzerland, and there's a picture of the Swiss Alps there. And she is a devout Catholic, and she lives somewhat of a monastic life in Switzerland. But she wrote As It's Written, and it's based on real events.
Wow, absolutely fascinating. The title of the book one more time.
As It's Written.
As It Is Written. And, of course, you could also do a search, as I said, for Dr. Paul Thigpen's book. I forget the title of that. Do you know the title offhand? I'm trying to remember what it was.
Oh,
Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Catholic
That's
right. Faith. That's what
yeah.
it was. It just came back. All right, let's grab a couple quick calls, and then I'd love to talk about what Padre Pio had to say, John Paul II, Even Our Lady. John in Torrance, California. So good to have you calling in. You're on the air with Dr. Diana Walsh-Polsuko. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you very much, Drew, for taking my call. I'm Roman Catholic. I'm also a physician. I would like to raise a challenge as to where I think this fascinating discussion and study is going, and how the church is perhaps maybe already thought about this and prepared to answer it. As you learn more and more scientific evidence about the Shroud of Turin, yeah, and about alien appearances on this earth, do you not see the eventuality that there's going to be the question raised, well, doesn't this demonstrate that Jesus Christ was a space alien? This explains the resurrection and all the miracles he was able to perform.
That's such a great question, and I know a lot of people have made that case as well. Doctor, this is your area of expertise. I personally don't believe that Christ was an alien. I believe he was the Son of God, came down, suffered, died, and rose from the dead for me. But how do you respond to the skeptics that John is pointing out?
Right. I mean, I think that Jesus is the resurrection. I mean, I've talked to people who believe that that's actually Jesus on the shroud. I believe that myself. That doesn't take away from the fact he's human, that he, you know, something extraordinary happened to cause him to not only resurrect, but to leave his imprint on the shroud. So that's as far as I can say about that. So I believe in it, but I believe, like Drew, that Jesus was, you know, human and God, obviously, to me.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who like to say that. I mean, we talked about this historic art and the things that we have seen, but there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, who also think that the human race has been seeded by aliens, you know, from another place. That's another popular theory that is out there. And John, thank you for your call. Great question to bring up.
Yeah. The shroud is amazing.
We have such great mysteries. That's a whole nother conversation. Corpus Christi, Texas is next. Maria is on deck. Hi, Maria.
Hey, how are you guys? It's so good to talk to both of you. Listen, I'm just saying, at this point, I believe AI has advanced so much. I don't necessarily believe these are alien people arriving at our planet or alien beings. I think it's just AI, and it's just as usual.
Hey, Maria, I got to hold you there because your audio is, you know, it's really difficult to hear. It's unintelligible, but I think I have your point. You said she's making the case, doctor. I don't think that it's actually alien life form. She says AI has advanced so far that maybe this is a manifestation of what we're seeing. Maybe China or somebody else has this ability. So how do you respond to some of these other theories?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have suggested AI, and there are a lot of people who are creators of AI who believe that too. I would say that this has been around prior to the creation of AI. You know, from 1947 with Kenneth Arnold, who's a pilot and sees disks, and that's actually where the term flying saucer, he called them plates, flying plates, comes from. So that's in there's another case that could be made that we've had AI since the 1940s. But I don't know about that.
All right. John is in Linden, New Jersey. He's been holding a while. Hi, John. Good afternoon.
How you doing? Yes, this reminds me of what I went through back from 79 to 1987, where it's like I fell for that. Oh, extraterrestrials. Oh, ancient astronauts. Oh, look, there's an aircraft, you know, whatever. I'm not going to fall for that again and everything. This is, you know, this is some neat form of neo-paganism. It's like, oh, look, there's a Astarte up in the sky, but, oh, Eric von Däniken, the art forger, says, that's an aircraft. Ah, believe it. Oh, the pyramids, they could not have possibly been built by brown-skinned people and everything. And you find out, yeah, what do they find on those pyramid blocks? Oh, we are from the province or whatever, you know, we dragged this block. How would aliens do that? They wouldn't be, it's like, here, let's just build it, plop.
John, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. I think John is not alone. I think there's a spiritual component to this in this respect. I think today we've rejected God so profoundly. There's this exodus out of the Catholic Church. There's an exodus away from the practice of faith that, you know, people are longing really to believe in something bigger than themselves. Maybe that's why this UFO phenomena has been so, so open-armedly embraced, if that makes sense. So you know, willingly embraced is probably a better way of saying that. And unfortunately, I do think that some people are looking for something more. He got deceived, he says, and he got sucked into this in the late 70s and in the early 80s. But, Doctor, that doesn't dispute the fact that it still might be a reality. I think some of this stuff is fake, and there's logical explanations for some of it. But if what's being reported today is true and this technology exists, then we're going to have to come to terms with that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we just need to be rationalists at this point and, you know, believe, actually, the pilots who are trained observers and suggest that there's something out there. We don't know what it is. We don't have to jump to the extraterrestrial hypothesis. We can say we don't know what it is, but we are definitely paying attention to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, you know, from what I have read, something like 8 million Americans have had bizarre experiences in which they have encountered, UFOs. The things that do disturb me a little bit are these people who claim to be abducted or harassed by them. And I do think there's a spiritual component to that. But the amount of eyewitnesses, and some of these things could be military, some of them could be, you know, astronomical phenomena, you know, who knows? There's a whole lot of different things that can happen. But, you know, there are some that are really perhaps unexplainable. But I do want to talk about the spiritual component of it. But first, let's go to Evanston, Illinois. Is Mary the one who's had the experience? Where is that? Line two, Rose in California claims that she had a personal experience with a craft, one of that 8 million or more. Hi, Rose. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Rose. Go right ahead.
Thank you. So this happened. I actually took a picture, and I just looked it up on my iPad. It happened on February 25th of 2021 at 6:37 p.m. And it happened earlier, and it had happened days before. But on this particular day, I was in my car. I had attended mass, mm-hmm. and I was in my observing the skies. And I saw, you know, this was for, I was there for a while. And a lot of the times I'm listening to Relevant Radio. So I'm there, and I noticed I noticed several things. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of overwhelmed. But in my observation, it was circular and it had lights and it was rotating.
Okay.
Very far, far from me, but I could see that. And I also noticed there were white and red and blue lights.
Okay.
Rose, let me
hold you on that point for a second there. And doctor, I want you to respond to this, because here's the thing. I mean, a very popular view of this is that it is, they're saucer shaped. And whether you're in Australia or Africa or different places, people claim to have had very similar phenomena. But now we're seeing tic tacs, we're seeing triangles, there are cubes. What do you make of these different reports? Is it one species? Is it multiples? Are we at a critical moment in the human race? Is it future time travelers? Is it,
okay,
if that's even
yeah,
a possibility? So, you know, I mean, is it interdimensional? I mean, there's so many possibilities. It's impossible to know.
Whatever we're going to say about it, we do have to know that reports of it throughout time have reported different types of things too. And even if you look at a person, say, like Rose, who has this observation, sometimes even two people who are making the same observation see different things.
Mm-hmm.
So in my book, American Cosmic, there's a chapter devoted to Ray Hernandez and his wife, Dolce, and he's an atheist and she's Catholic. And this thing that, you know, some similar to what Rose is describing comes down, and their dog is very ill, and it heals their dog, but it heals their dog and it looks really weird. They don't know what it is. He doesn't know what it is, but he calls it a plasma thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolce, his wife, believes that it is an angel, and they have completely different interpretations of it, and they even describe it differently.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, let me take a short break. When we come back, I'll share a little bit of what has been reported from Padre Pio. what Our Lady in a purported site of apparitions may have said. And maybe we can even take a look at whether or not these are demonic or spiritual delusions. Could these events that people are encountering be nothing more than something spiritual? That and more conversation and your calls straight ahead. Stay with me. Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
For years, there have been whispers and rumors that the government had aircraft of non-human origin. This report is the first evidence it might be true.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, the matter goes far beyond simple lights in the sky or flying saucer fantasies. We now have a high-ranking military official, highly credentialed, coming out and saying the U.S. is in possession. And not just the U.S., other governments of exotic alien technology. If it's true, it raises a lot of questions. Just from a spiritual perspective, what if another civilization, you know, as we took to the, as we left the primordial soup, so to speak, and we took to the plane, so to, you know, and took to the earth, if you will, if I can get the words out of my mouth, we learned to sail, we learned to cross the ocean, right? And when we crossed the ocean and we found new civilizations, what did we do? We Christianized them. Well, what if now that we've not just taken to the air, but we are now taking to the stars, would these be our brothers in Christ? Would they need to know Jesus Christ? Would our mission be to evangelize these alien beings? Or what if they, like us, were put to a test? Maybe they passed the test. You know, would they be a, you know, what would happen in a situation like that? My guest today is Dr. Diana Walsh-Palsuka. She's written extensively on this. And doctor, let's talk about that. What, before we take any more phone calls, let's just talk about the spiritual dynamic to this. If they are a fallen being like we are, they have advanced technology, that gives me great pause. Would they need to be Christianized? Just as we Christianized, you know, the Native Americans and others, and we took the faith to the world, we're still doing that. Would we need to do this to alien races? Or is it possible that they were put to a test and maybe passed it, and they don't have that concupiscence to sin? What are your thoughts?
Well, I know that, you know, Brother Guy at the Vatican Observatory about 20 years ago said that if an alien came to him and wanted to be baptized, he would baptize the alien. So I think that there is this idea. There is no official Vatican or Catholic position on this, but there are different people within that are Catholic in the hierarchy that do have, you know, opinions about it. And so, you know, that's one opinion.
Okay. Fascinating. Let's take a few calls very quickly. We'll go to Mary in Evanston, Illinois. Hi, Mary.
Yes. I'm Dr. Walsh. I have a question. It's kind of offbeat, but at Medjugorje, it is said that after all the messages are completed, for lack of a better expression, that there will remain an indestructible symbol, my word, I don't know what word, again, I'd have to read it, on the mount. An indestructible thing would be left on the Mount of Medjugorje.
Mount Popeter, though, yeah.
So
I don't have familiar with Medjugorje, doctor, but in 1981, the Virgin began making appearances. For those who do not know, she's reportedly been appearing every day. It's given these seers secrets that pertain to future world events. And one of the signs that she said that would lead, that would convince the world, will be a sign that will be visible and indestructible, will be left at the site where she first appeared, a site called Mount Popeto. And Mary, are you saying that you think perhaps whatever is going to be left here, this indestructible entity on the mount, will be like a UFO or is a UFO?
I don't know. I mean, that's the question.
Okay.
I have to have an open mind.
Okay,
I do want to say, backing up, that we were made in the image of God. We were told that. So
that's
as far
right.
as us being, looking like aliens, it's... I don't believe that.
No, very, very well said. Thank you, Mary. Doctor, I'm going to let you respond to her. I'll follow up on something else that came out of that reported apparition site.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Marian apparitions are hugely important for this kind of situation that we're in. And I also, I've taught some classes that are international about the topic of UFOs, and I also include in their discussion of Marian apparitions. And I think that, you know, the messages are pretty consistent about how, what type of life to lead and, you know, and to pray and to, you know, do a fast and to be devout. So I think that, you know, this is going to be what is important. So I just want to reiterate that.
It's well said. In this apparition site, it's a place called Medjugorje. It's located now in Bosnia-Herzegovina. It was communist Yugoslavia when the visions began in 81. In the very early days, these seers were asked a flurry of questions, and somebody asked, allegedly, is there life on other planets? And Our Lady's response to the seer, I think it was Maria Lunetti at the time, Maria Pavlovich, she says, this is not now for you to know. So it's not now for you to know. So as if though something is coming, and perhaps it's an intriguing response. She didn't say yes. She didn't say no. Padre Pio, as you know, I'm sure, was asked these questions too. And somebody said to Padre Pio, they said, some claim that there are creatures of God on other planets. And Father Pio says, well, what else? He says, do you think that they don't exist? That God's omnipotence is limited to this small planet Earth? He goes, what else? Do you think that there are no other beings who love the Lord? So somebody else asked him another question. He says, Father, I think the Earth is nothing compared to the other planets and the stars. And Pio says, exactly, yes. We earthlings are nothing too. The Lord certainly did not limit his glory to this small earth. He says, on other planets, other beings exist who did not sin and fall as we did. Now, those are the words of Padre Pio, right? Not mine. That's pretty profound. This man is now a saint. So, Doctor, you teach on this stuff. What have the saints had to say? What have other apparitions, what have they revealed or given us insight into?
Well, I think it's pretty, that Padre Pio said that is fairly compelling.
Just qualify that too, Doctor. I want you to respond, but that comes from Dr. Paul Figpen's book,
right?
Extraterrestrial Life in the Catholic Church. Yeah. He's the one who's reporting it. I'm just re-echoing it.
Well, I guess what I always come down to is that, you know, if we're given the instructions for how to live, we do it. And we wonder because, you know, this is God's creation is amazing. Earth and outside of Earth. It's still amazing whether it has life on it or not.
No kidding. All right, let's go back to the phones. Who's up next, Maggie? Is it Mary? Mary in Henderson, Nevada. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. So just recently on LifeSite News, they had an exorcist and mystic priest named Father Michel Rodrigue, I believe is how you pronounce it. Okay. And I found it very interesting that he said, once we start to hear of aliens and all these other things, he said, it's really going to be a demonic presence and the Antichrist is not too far off once we see this. So I just found it interesting. It was on LifeSite maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, not that far off. So anyway, I didn't know if you guys have heard of Father saying anything like this or if any of the other saints.
Well, thank you for your call. And let's follow up on the one other aspect of this we have not touched on. Some people believe that this is not extraterrestrial. It's not government technology, but it is indeed, it's demonic deception, that these are delusions that come from a dark place and a dark world. And these people who've had these abductions, these people who in the middle of the night see creatures in their room. So often you hear reports of people who, well, when they wake up like that after seeing this, throw holy water and that entity leaves. What are your thoughts on this possibly being something that is spiritual and not necessarily technological or otherworldly?
Well, I think that when you do, okay, so let's take a secular documentary about, and secular, by that I mean completely not religious, and they're looking at this as something from another planet. And they go into Brazil, and this is this new documentary by James Fox called Moment of Contact. And I found this to be a very interesting documentary because the framework is we're going to explore this moment of contact with, an extraterrestrial. And it has young girls who had contact about 15, 20 years ago. And they saw this being. And what's interesting to me is that it's absolutely reported by many witnesses that they saw the being with what looked like three, like their, like a, almost like cloven feet and hands. And they said that. And they also said that they smelled sulfur. And I mean, of course, that for someone who is, for one, Catholic, they're going to identify this as the tradition of, you know, this would be like a demon or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's indeed what they called it. But then it was called something different by secular authorities and things like that. So I think that, you know, it's interesting. When you say, you know, what the previous caller talked about, how, you know, if we are hearing reports of extraterrestrials and things like that, you know, the it's like the apocalyptic time period or something like that. But to tell you the truth, people have been seeing, you know, there are reports of beings from other planets and contacts like these throughout the historical record that go back thousands of years.
Doctor, thank you for your time. We'll continue to follow this story. My apology to everyone on hold. We can follow up on this maybe in the days ahead or as news continues to come our way. If you missed any of the conversation, go to relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts are housed. Maggie will have this conversation up shortly. It's well worth re-listening to. Until next time, remember God loves you, and so do I.